Sometimes hate to stop that flow, you know? You get in the prayer, get in his presence, and most of you know me. My name's Doug Rowland. I'm a minister here. I think I know everybody. And you know you're in trouble when they let the drummer out to preach, so just hang on. So you know, my prayer every time that I have the opportunity to share God's word is that he would use me as his vessel. Amen? For his conduit. The conduit for his word and his truth. Amen? Because he deserves all of the honor and all of the glory. Amen? Because it's all about him. That's why we come here. It's all about him. Because he alone is good. He doesn't need me to be good. He alone is good. Amen? He is the great I am. Amen. Father God, I just give you glory today, Lord. I give you glory. Father, I just ask, Lord, that you just keep me out of the way, Lord, for your purpose today. I pray, Lord, your Holy Spirit goes out and softens hearts, Lord, in this congregation. And Lord, that your word would flow through me and out of me. And I thank you and praise you, Lord, for being here today, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, it's a new year, as we all know. And, you know, we've all heard the new year, new you slogan. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But I say, why wait an entire year for a new you? Why would you have to wait that long? Meaning if your mind, if you blow it, or say you fall off the wagon, so to speak, get run over by it, you think, oh, well, I'm going to have to wait till next January to get another shot at it, to start all over again. Right? Yep. No. See, Jeremiah tells us in Lamentations 3:22 and 23 that through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Not every year. Every morning. Amen? Great is your faithfulness, Lord. Isn't that awesome? What a promise. His mercies are new every morning. Not every January 1st. And I'm thankful for that. How about you? Jeremiah was heartbroken because he witnessed the fall of Jerusalem to the Babylonians. And actually, that's the heart of the book of Lamentations, that Jeremiah was lamenting the fall of Jerusalem. And he was sad, sorrowful about the sinfulness of the Israelites. See, the Israelites chose to reject God instead of committing their ways to God. But as we just heard, God is faithful. And even through all this, Jeremiah recognizes that God is faithful. Amen? And he is a compassionate God. He is loving. And even in the tough, though seemingly unbearable circumstances, his mercies are new every morning. Amen? His compassion is new every morning. Amen? I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. I was on the rowing machine at the gym the other day. No, or it's not a health and fitness talk. So, but I heard an ad for a popular fitness center, and the focal point was not how great their facility was, like how many machines they had, or you know how convenient their locations were, or maybe how friendly their staff was and knowledgeable their staff was. Their focal point was that you could join their facility with no commitment. No commitment. I started thinking about that theme of no commitment. See, when we decide to commit to something, whether it be a fitness program, or someone, maybe a spouse, maybe you're getting married, or a child, maybe a church. See, we are vowing to ourselves and others that what we are committing to is important to us. It has value in our lives. Otherwise, we wouldn't be committing to it, right? Well, one exception. Sometimes our spouses commit us to stuff that maybe we don't think is so important. Amen. I don't know. Anyway. But besides that, seriously, though, think about it. Not committing to something or someone, see, it removes the importance or the priority of that same something or someone in your mind. And see, that in turn shows up in your actions in your life. And I continue thinking further about this theme of no commitment. And isn't that what is being promoted in the culture that we live in today? That you just do whatever you want, when you want to do it, how you want to do it, and you never make any commitment to any purpose, any person, or any cause. And somehow, you will just magically end up living some sort of, you know, utopian lifestyle with no commitment to anyone or anything. Isn't that what the culture tries to tell us? Can I ask you a question today? Has it ever worked? Does it really ever work? Has anyone ever accomplished anything of significance? Anything worthwhile in this life, having a no commitment mindset? I don't believe so. Church, may I boldly say today, see, we need to be deeply rooted in the Word of God, fully committed to our faith in Jesus Christ in this day and age that we live in, like never before. Like never before. It's not optional. It's not a choice. See, without it, we're like a boat without a rudder. Think about what it does. It just wanders around from place to place. It doesn't have any real direction, does it? See, when we let God's word steer our lives, He keeps us from running ashore and shipwrecking our lives, doesn't He? He is our anchor when we need to stand against the strong currents that are in this world. Amen? James 1:22. I love the book of James. I read it all the time. The best, the quick five chapters, and there's just so much nourishment in the book of James. I encourage you to read it as often as you can. But James 1:22 tells us that we must be doers of the word, not just hearers. We got to do it. What? Otherwise, what do? We deceive ourselves. We must be doers of His word, friends. See, when we hear the word of God, and we maybe even read the word of God, but we do not obey the word of God, means we are not committed to the word of God. I can't imagine anyone's goal ever is to ever deceive themselves, is it? Is it yours? It's not mine. But when we become doers of His word, we become committed. And God is able to do mighty things in you. Does anybody here want God to do mighty things in them? I know I do. He's able to do those things in you and through you. The fully committed Christian. Amen? Talking about the world, see, if we are not mindful of His word, if we're not in it, if we're not doers, if we don't have it on our hearts, see, we may believe these carefully constructed, these carefully crafted ideas of worldly wisdom, kind of an oxymoron, and think if we follow them, if we follow the worldly wisdom instead of godly wisdom, see, we will attain true happiness. And we believe when we achieve true purpose in this life by these ideas of no commitment, we're going to believe that instead of godly wisdom. It doesn't work, friends. Leaves you wanting more, doesn't it? Let's look for a minute at Luke 11:24 and following. Jesus had just cast out a demon from a man. And after that, he was accused of getting his power from Satan. And then after instructing them on how that's not possible, he then tells them how the demons operate in relation to a person. Jesus says, when the unclean spirit, now pay attention to this. When the unclean spirit comes out of a person, it roams through waterless places in search of a place to rest. This is the demon, the unclean spirit. And not finding any, it says, I will go back to my house, which is the person, your person, from which I came. And when it returns, it finds the place swept and put in order. Then it goes and it brings seven other spirits, more evil than itself, and they go in the person and they live there. So it started with one. Now they got eight. And listen to this. And the last state of that person becomes worse than the first. You want to talk about a slippery slope, friends. Jesus is talking about a person who is maybe they've experienced the blessings of God, but they've never fully committed. Maybe it was being delivered from an addiction of drugs or alcohol, maybe even pornography, and experience that joy of their inner man being free of these demons. Their house was swept and put in order. But they failed to fill their house or their, remember, their person, their inner man, with the things of God. They didn't fill their house with the things of God by being a reader, by being a doer of his word. You see, Satan cannot dwell where God lives. They don't coexist. Satan flees in the presence of God. So if we neglect to move God into our lives, into our hearts, our house, our person, Satan returns with a vengeance, doesn't he? And he moves back in. Just like the word says, the last state of that man is worse than the first. How many of us have seen this happen to people? See, when this happens, it hardens the heart towards God, making your heart a callous, having no feelings towards the things of God. You want to have calluses on their hands? I do. They have no feeling, do they? You can squeeze them and cut them and do all kinds of stuff. You don't feel a thing. They are hard. They're tough, right? When our hearts become callous towards God, see, we no longer feel his presence. We no longer feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit. If we get to that place where we begin to justify ungodly ways, we laugh at sin, we shun the things of God, we have given Satan the keys to our house. We told him, it's okay, come on and move in, do whatever you want. That's essentially what we're saying. This is an example of a person's heart, as we know, represented as a house, who failed to fully commit to Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, can you start to see the danger of being non-committal? You start to see? Or half committed, halfway committed to Christ. What happens in your jobs if we don't commit them to them? What happens? We lose them. What happens to our relationships with our children? What happens to our marriage if we are not fully committed? They fail eventually. What happens to a fitness plan with no commitment? Most likely will not yield any results. And it's just going to lead probably to a lot of frustration and disappointment. But here's the flip side to this. Like it or not, see, we are all committed to something. To somebody. To some purpose or an agenda. See, commitment breeds confidence in what we decide to commit to. But you have to be careful what you commit to, my friends. My question for you today, I want you to think just for a minute and truly ask yourself, what are you committed to? What do you hang on to when maybe it's not convenient? What drives you to stay the course when that course gets rough? When it gets muddy? When it gets tough? And what is the fruit or the harvest that you, that in your life that you're expecting to receive after committing to what you're committing to? So, what are you committed to, and why are you committed to it? I'm going to ask you to think about that. Is it your job? I know we have to work. There's nothing wrong with working. But is that job, is it all-consuming? Does your job take first place over everything in your life? When they call, do you come running? Are you committed to your own pleasure? That's a big one, friends. And that's an umbrella that can encompass a lot of things. And I'm just going to tell you what. This is a question I have to ask myself regularly. Am I committed to my own pleasure? Because left unchecked, I'm telling you, it can become a slippery slope. How about you? This culture promotes that the pursuit of pleasure will produce the fruit in our lives that we long for in our hearts, doesn't it? Look at TV commercials. Listen to radio ads. It's everywhere. Yet no matter how magnificent the vacation, how extravagantly large and well-appointed our houses are, how fancy or fast of a car we drive, how big our paychecks are from working all that hours, there's always seems to be a level of discontent, right? A level of, that's great, but now what? Now what? What's next? You know? The pursuit of pleasure becomes like a drug. We can never get enough. And we feed this idea that if we just have a little more pleasure, that we're going to be happy. I ask you today, is it ever enough? Is it ever enough? Is it quenchable? No. See, that's because we are trying to fill that place in our hearts that God created for himself to dwell. And we're putting everything else in there but God. Everything else. I say all these ideas to lay a foundation in your mind, to illustrate the importance of being committed, fully committed to Christ in your life. Committed to him above anything and everybody else, everything else. It's important. We should strive to commit to the gospel. And the gospel is Jesus and him crucified for our sins. We should commit to that first and foremost, friends. And I'm talking to this guy too. You know, I always say when I come up here and preach, I preach it myself. We need to be careful not to commit to religion, tradition, maybe commit to a denomination. You're loyal to a denomination instead of Christ. Well, my mom and dad did this their whole life, so I'm doing it too. Well, that's great if it's in the Bible. But if it's not, you might want to check that out. You remember the religious Pharisees. They were the ones, they were so committed to religion. What happened? They couldn't recognize that Jesus was standing right in front of them. They were blinded. And because of this, what happened? The religious ones were the ones that put Jesus on the cross. Careful, friends. Let's take a look at Psalm 37. We'll start at verse 3. And we're going to talk about a few ways today that we can commit ourselves to the Lord. Verse 3 starts with, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. So first, what we must do? Trust in the Lord with our lives. With every area of our lives. Not just Sunday morning between 10 and 12. Doing good according to his word. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. This is such a beautiful picture of enjoying all that God has for every single one of us. Amen? Feeding our spirits with his faithful word. And dwelling in that perfect place in Christ. It's so satisfying. It's so satisfying to be in his presence. Amen? Next in verse 4 is, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. We get excited about that one, don't we? What a promise, friends. Can I ask you today? Is your delight in the Lord? Is it in the Lord? See, when we are doers of the word, we are trusting in the Lord, feeding on his faithfulness. See, our desire shifts from pleasing ourselves to pleasing him. Amen? The desires of our heart become the same desires of his heart. Isn't that neat? Oh, our desire is for him to mold us, isn't it, church? Mold us to his image. Verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Commit your way. When we look at our lives, I'm going to ask you a question. Take a look at your life. Like, do a quick summary of where you're at, wherever you are. If you're 10 or 80, doesn't matter. Does your actions, should I say our actions, because I'm talking to this guy too. Does our actions, our behavior, our speech, our thoughts, our treasures, how we spend our time, does it all push towards the theme of Christ in our lives? When we lump it all together in a big old pile, and we look at it, is Christ in the middle of that pile? Is the overarching theme in your life, in my life, to give Christ glory? Or is it to give ourselves glory? It's a serious question. And it's one we don't just figure out one time. It's a lifetime, friends. We have to stay at it. It's a marathon. It's not a race. Oh, my friends, I tell you, I am looking forward to the day when I stand in front of my Jesus and he says, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Do you want to hear that? Oh, my friends. Proverbs 16:3 furthermore says, commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. Your thoughts will be established. Wow. What a promise. I could use my thoughts being established quite a bit. I found it interesting that the term commit in the context of these scriptures means to roll our cares onto the Lord. Give them to him in prayer and believe that he's going to work them out. Why? So we don't spend our lives worrying about our problems. See, we can focus on him instead of our problems ourselves. We give those problems to him. We roll them over onto him. Amen? See, we were never meant to carry around all that worry, all that stress. Take it to the cross, my friends. Focus on Him, not your problems. Letting Him establish your thoughts. Watch what He does in your life. Verse 6. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. In Him, my friends, is no darkness. So when He is in you, when Jesus lives in you, His righteousness shines from you. Amen? Jesus Himself tells us in John 8:12, He says, I am the light of the world. He who follows Me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Oh, friends, who wants the light of life? You know what, friends, I'm getting excited. Who wants the light of life? You know, we can get all excited in sports games, and I love picking on sports because I don't like them. Can't we get excited about our eternity in heaven with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Everybody sitting, or do we come to church and sit in church like we've bit into a sour orange? I mean, come on. Man, we got the best thing to be excited about, friends. Amen? I'm telling you, there's nothing better. Nothing better. Verse 7, rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. And do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. So finally, learn to rest in Him. Don't be concerned about what God is or isn't doing in other people's lives. He has a unique plan for each one of us, for your life. That sometimes that requires patience, doesn't it? I love Psalm 40, verse 1. I love that verse. I waited patiently for the Lord. Just has such a, just a calming, soothing in my spirit. I waited patiently for the Lord. And He inclined to me. And He heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit. Out of the miry clay. And He set my feet upon a rock. And He established my steps. What a promise, friends. What a promise. I'm so glad He did. I'm so glad He pulled me out of that pit. Amen? How about you? How about you? So trust in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. And rest in the Lord. Amen? Oh, church. I'm so thankful for God's word. Amen? See, it never, ever gets old. It's always relevant. It's always fresh, isn't it? It's always timely. How is that? You think a book, you know, kind of like a movie, if you read it once, you... No. The Word of God is not like that. Why? Because it's alive. It's the living, breathing, inspired Word of God. Amen? God also speaks about being half committed to Him. Do we ever complete or achieve anything by being half committed? I think we talked about this earlier. 1 foot in and 1 foot out. Leaving the back door open, just in case we want to run out of. We know the results of being half committed or half hearted to other things in our lives, don't we? We see the results. But what about God? What about God? What about being half committed to God? Oh, maybe it's okay just to, you know, just have a little God. I just want a little bit. You know, I go to church. It's good enough for me. I've done my deed, right? Or how about I give God Sunday? God, you and me, Sunday, I'm there. The other 6 days, they belong to me. Or this one I really like. I got my own thing with God. I've heard that one before. Really? My Bible says in John 14:6, He says, I am the way, not a way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I've never come across a scripture that says to make your own way to God. Have you? See, when we are half committed to the things of Christ, our spirit man becomes weak. It becomes malnourished. And our ability to discern godly principles from worldly evil, it becomes difficult. Our spiritual eyesight, our spiritual awareness becomes fuzzy. And in turns, that opens up our minds to be corrupted by the enemy. Remember, we dangled the keys for the enemy to our house. The enemy operates in half-truths. And he is a deceiver. And he knows the word of God. He's been at it a long time. He probably knows it better than any of us in here. What did Jesus use to defeat Satan's advances? Remember after he fasted 40 days? What did he use? Rocks? Lightning bolts? No. He used God's word. You want to tell me it ain't powerful? Satan may tell the half-committed Christian, it's only one night with him or her. God will understand. He's a merciful guy. He'll understand. Or how about, they won't miss that money. My boss won't miss that money. He's loaded anyway. He don't need it. Or how about just one drink or just one night? It's okay. God understands. I'm under pressure. You see where this can go, friends? Or how about God knows my needs aren't being met at home, so I'm just going to go into my corner and dabble in things that I know I shouldn't be in. God will understand. I recall hearing a pastor preach when I was young, and I know my family will know exactly who I'm talking about. But he said something that stuck with me, even when I was living like a clown. But I've always remembered this. He says, sin will cost you more than you want to pay. It's going to keep you longer than you want to stay. And it's going to take you farther than you ever wanted to go. Isn't this the truth, friends? Have we ever got into sin as believers and afterwards said to ourselves, boy, that was great. As believers, I'm talking to believers. No. Paul is instructing young Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and following. He says this, and we've heard this before. He says, for the time, this is not my notes, I'm just going to say, is my wife bought me an Amplified Bible for Christmas, and I love it. So all of my references now are amplified because I love it. Anyway, for the time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine and accurate instruction that challenges them from God's truth. But wanting to have their ears tickled with something pleasing. Remember we talked about pleasure? They will accumulate for themselves many teachers, one after the other, chosen to satisfy their own desires and to support the errors that they hold. Wow. That's powerful, friends. That's scary. Do we not live in that world right now? Wrong is right and right is wrong. This is the result of being half committed. See, we give the enemy an opportunity just to get a foot in the door of our lives, of our house, right? And what does he do? Before we know it, he charms his way right on into our house. Moves in and he takes you down. Because that's his goal. It's a big deal, my friends. And the consequences can be for eternity if left unaddressed in this life. Amen? That's a long time. You think this life is long? Think about it in the scope of eternity. We also read in Revelation 3:15 about this same subject. The Bible uses the term lukewarm to refer to someone half committed. He says, I know your deeds. He's talking to the church in Laodicea. Decia, I can never pronounce that. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold, invigorating or refreshing, or hot, healing and therapeutic. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm, listen to this, spiritually useless. That one jumped out at me. Spiritually useless. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth, rejecting you with disgust. Friends, those are some powerful words to hear at the conclusion of your life. So according to God's word, I'm going to say it doesn't sound like he's a fan of people riding the fence. One foot in the world, one foot in Christ. Do you? Do we blend in with the world Monday through Saturday? And we try to pretend to be a different person Sunday morning between 10 and noon. I'm telling you, friends, this is a recipe for disaster in our lives. You're playing with fire, literally. And not only personally, if left unattended, it can destroy a church. It can have corporate consequences. I can't stress this enough today. You know, we pray for revival, don't we? Can I ask you today, are we really ready for it? Really? Are we? See, revival starts with each and every one of us, including me, including this guy. Remember, his mercies are new every morning. If you think, if I think, if any of us think we've ever arrived in the Lord, you know, we're there, we got it all figured out. I don't need to read anymore. I'm telling you, you're in trouble. I'm just going to be blunt. I'm a blunt guy. You're in trouble. The half-committed Christian looks no different than a person that's lost in this world. Blends right in. You'd never know. See, friends, we should stand out in this world. We should stand out like a light that's in darkness. Is there any darkness when you bring a candle into a dark room? No. You should be that light. See, let's start being concerned less with what the worldly person thinks of us and be more concerned and live in our lives to please Christ. Is anybody with me? Amen? Friends, I hope this isn't too hard. But I'm going to tell you what. I will never apologize for preaching the Word of God. I love you too much to tell you a lie. I will always preach what the Word of God instructs us. Because you know what? The gospel is offensive. You know why it's offensive? Because it goes against our human nature. And it exposes those dark places in us, doesn't it? That's why it's offensive. But remember this truth. The cross was offensive to Jesus, wasn't it? And he chose the cross for us anyway, didn't he? He didn't need the cross. He didn't deserve the cross. But he took the cross. And he paid our debt in full. So we may have eternity with him. Amen? Through the Bible, we see examples of Christ's grace, mercy, and love work in miraculous ways through the lives of those who were committed to him, don't we? Think about Noah. What if he had not fully committed? Think he would have trusted God over man when they were all, you know, giving him a hard time about building the ark? Think about Daniel. When he went into that upper room and he opened up that window toward Jerusalem and he prayed as he always did, despite knowing that it could mean death. He could have closed that window, couldn't he? He could have skipped praying. He could have whispered maybe that day, but he didn't. He didn't. He was fully committed. And you know what? The result of it was his faith, his obedience, his commitment, it saved him. It saved his life when they threw him into that den of lions. How about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They refused to bow down and worship that golden image that was set up by King Nebuchadnezzar, didn't they? We read that they were thrown into a fiery furnace. But what happened? That furnace, that fire had no power over them, did it? They emerged from that furnace with their clothes intact. Not a hair on their head burnt. They didn't even smell like smoke. Think if they were not fully committed. I can go on for the rest of the day talking about examples in the Bible on this subject. But I pray today that you start to see that this is a serious matter. Being fully committed is the only way to be committed to Christ. There is no other way. There are so many promises in God's word for those who believe in him, who trust in him. And since his word is living, they are new every day. He reveals deeper meaning of his scripture to each one of us as we mature, as we believe, and we trust in him. Amen? Prophet Jeremiah shares a promise from the Lord in 29:11 and following. And a lot of us know the beginning part of this, but I love the whole, all the way down. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not evil. To give you a future and a hope." Isn't that what we all want? A future and a hope? He's telling us right here. "Then you will call upon me, and you will go and pray to me, and I will listen to you." Oh, isn't that so comforting, friends? When we know that God listens to us. And then he says, "And you will seek me and find me." And what does he say? Does he say you'll find me with half your heart? Halfway? No, he says you will find me with all of your heart. All of your heart, friends. What a beautiful promise. What a beautiful promise. See, he wants us to be sold out to him. This is when we find him. Psalm 84:11 and 12 tells us, "For the Lord is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you." Paul tells us in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." I ask you today, why would we chance missing out on eternal life with Christ to fulfill our own sinful desires? Why would we do that? Why would we take a chance? Why would we gamble? Ladies and gentlemen, today, January 13th, 2019, I ask you to consider making a full commitment to Christ today. Not just for a limited time, not just till lunchtime, not a conditional commitment, but a sold out, no matter what happens in my life, no matter what people say, commitment to Jesus Christ. Because that's the only way it works. I stand nothing to gain from your decision other than the joy of witnessing your freedom in Christ. I ask you to recall for a moment what the Bible tells us that Jesus himself committed to. He fully committed to death on a cross. The cruelest, most torturous death imaginable. To pay the debt of sin that not one of us could pay. God, he stood by. And he watched his only son be mocked, be spit on, be tortured, beaten beyond recognition. Then he laid down on that cross. Nobody had to force him. He went and laid down on it. And he stretched his arms out. And this is after he carried that cross on Calvary, to Calvary on his back. That was nothing but raw flesh left. And he was nailed to that cross. And he was raised up and left to die. This is the part I ask you to consider. Having all the power of the universe at his disposal, he chose not to use it. He chose not to use it. He fully committed all the way to death. He took our place on that cross, friends. He placed that immeasurable heavy load of sin on his sinless body. And he paid the debt of sin in full. For you, for me, for anyone who would commit fully to him. Amen? He conquered death. He conquered hell. And he rose again just as he said he would. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. And I am not asking you to commit to a dead God today. I am asking you to commit to a live God today. He is alive and he is well. My mouth can't keep up with my brain. Oh, friends. Today is the day. Can I have a few of my fellow ministers come up here? Minutes late, friends, but this is important. I ask you to bow your heads. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for your word today. We thank you that it is true. We thank you that your mercies are new every morning, Lord. Father, I ask, Lord, that your spirit goes out today and does what only it can do. Lord, we thank you for the cross. We thank you what you did when you didn't have to do it, Lord, for us, because your love for us, Lord. And we thank you, Jesus. I'm going to ask you today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I encourage you to make that today, to make today the day that you do. I'm just going to tell you, in light of our recent, we look around. All we have to do is look around, not far. We never know how long we have to live. We never know. If you were to walk out that door today and your life came to an unplanned end, can I ask you, are you ready to meet Jesus today? Would you be ready to stand face to face with him? Would you be ready to hear, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." Or are you fearful that you might hear, "Depart from me. I never knew you." Oh, friends, it's a decision. If you've been out of fellowship with Jesus and you want to make today that day that you recommit your life to Christ, you desire that restored relationship with him, my friends, today is your day. Don't let pride keep you in your seat. Jesus loves you, and he wants to pour out his love to you. Are you ready, friends? Are you ready to fully commit to him? I'm going to open up the altars for a few moments, Lord. Lord, have your way. Have your way, Lord. Draw your people, Lord, to the cross. If there's anybody that has a need, I pray that you don't leave here without bringing it to the cross. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Walk out that door today wishing you had done something when you could have. Now is the time. Oh, we praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Jesus. Praise your name. Gift of salvation is free to us, to those who commit to Him. But it costs Jesus everything. Won't you commit today, friends?
God, yeah. We will see how